Today is the 19th of November 2018. I'll be talking to Chris Tremaine, and he's going to tell us about his family. Chris?
I think we would discuss, Frank, is that we'd talked with my brothers up until the point of my father's untimely death, but you wanted me to mention about the transition from Willow Drive in Tarawa, where we grew up, through to Puketapu Road, and then perhaps I can make a few comments about Mum's moves from there. But yeah, we grew up at 5 Willow Drive in Tarawa, which Mum mentioned she and Kel purchased as a vacant section just after they were married. So when she was working for the newspaper in Napier and Dad was working for either State Advances or Williams and Kettle, probably Williams and Kettle by that stage. And at that point, Willow Drive was in fact covered in willows. It wasn't until some time later that the willow trees were removed and a park was formed there. We only knew it as a park, but clearly the name Willow Drive was synonymous with what it had previously been. So yes, we grew up there as a wonderful suburban upbringing with all the access to scouts, and I think we've talked about that previously, about paper runs and all those things with the athletics club and all the things we were involved in. But Dad had always wanted a farm. He had obviously been raised in a family who weren't particularly affluent and, you know, didn't have any family money to buy a farm, so he had to achieve that of his own accord. So when we first were in Willow Drive, he had a lease block in Pariety called Gorse Farm, funnily enough. And we used to go up there and spend a lot of time up there chasing sheep around the hills and shearing. And so that was his first foray. He then subsequently purchased a block of about 150 acres in Seafield Road, where he farmed for, I've been making this up, but for 5 or 6 years. In fact, one time my friends and I biked out there and stayed on the farm beside the river, which was quite an adventure. But then he sold that property and found some land at the back of Tarawa, which was above the Tarawa Cemetery in Puketapu Road, which extended right across through the back of Tarawa up to the ridgeline above the Otatara Pass site and next to Rob Barrick's property now. So he purchased that towards the end of my sixth form year, so I would have been 17, and I believe that was in 1983. And we moved up there, so I had my seventh form year based at Puketapu Road. And I remember that distinctly because in my seventh form year, we had a pretty successful first 15. In fact, that year Dennis Pixie was the captain and I was the vice captain. But Simon was also in the team that year. He was obviously starting to have a very successful rugby career, and as a young year 11 or fifth former, to be in the first 15 was, you know, pretty remarkable. True. But we that year won the Maesca Cup and the Polson Banner, and so on one of the occasions we had a party up at our place, and I remember Dad and his mates gathering, and, you know, Dad always loved to have a party, so did Mum for that matter. But I recall us having a haka on the front lawn, and the people from down in Tarawa heard the haka, and it was quite hilarious. Yeah, so that's where we went to, and obviously Dad had the, it was the old Good homestead. So Trevor Good had been a potato farmer, and they had a big shed below the main house where he used to store all his potatoes. That was converted into a storage facility for the Rotary Club for the Tarawa Rotary Auction. So I know for many years Tarawa Rotary enjoyed the goodwill of having a free storage shed. So look, Mum and Dad were there from 83 through until Dad's passing. And then Mum, subsequent to that, stayed there for some time. Yeah, so I went from there on to university, and so that was in 85. I spent the 4 years at Massey University, 85, 86, 87 and 88, before I obviously came back and used to come and stay at home. I think in the first summer holidays I worked at Denton Donovan over in Hastings as a trainee accountant, and also worked as a barman in Napier at Cheers, was the name of the pub at the time. Yes. And then the following summer, Peter Ebert, who's a very good friend of mine who's now passed away himself, he and I travelled to Australia and worked. I worked on the Tangalooma Resort at Moreton Island teaching windsurfing and sailing, and Pete worked out in Surfers Paradise. And then the following summer of university, I worked in the wool stores for the summer together with Simon. It was Si's first year at university. And then the following summer, having finished university, Andrew Bailey and I travelled to Canada, and we got a green card, and we worked up at Lake Louise on the ski field there for about 7 or 8 weeks. before coming down from Calgary through Northern America into Salt Lake City and back via San Francisco and Hawaii on the way home. Before starting work at my job at Gosling Chapman, Auckland, as a trainee chartered accountant. That would have been 89, the year of 89, and then 90. I moved from Gosling Chapman and worked for a company called Richard Cavalier, who were a startup dental supply company, and I became their CFO for the year, which was, she's an education, I tell you, because they were struggling to pay their bills and struggling to collect their dues, and I was on the sharp end of discussion with both debtors and creditors. So it was an entertaining part of my life. But then, subsequent to that, while I'd been at university, there's a group of friends in Ange and I who agreed after 2 years of work to meet up in Los Angeles and to buy a couple of American cars, which we did in about April of 1991. And we bought a Lincoln Continental and a Buick Station Wagon. Spent 10 or 12 weeks driving across the United States, finally to New York and then on to London. So, yeah, it was interesting.
You used to get a progress report from Kel about where you were, and you didn't know what you're up to, but he was sure you were having fun.
Yeah. Well, Kel was a prolific letter writer, actually, my father, and I think he inherited that from his mother, and he used to write to me pretty regularly. I think I mentioned previously while I was at university, and then certainly while I was in the UK. Yeah, so Ange and I had, it was about 9 months in the UK then, which was obviously cut short by Dad becoming sick. But I'd invested into a VW Combi and was about to set off around Europe and that when we found out that Dad wasn't well. And so came home, and then obviously my life changed overnight.
Dramatically,
and ended up coming into the real estate business a lot earlier than I'd planned, even though I had had discussions with Dad doing that. But I think it would have been a much different entry. I would have, I would have started in the sales team rather than in the management, and it would have been a different, start to my career. But, that was how it was, and so there was no other alternatives. And fortunately, Jim Simpkin had the license at the time. Mum, obviously, we've talked previously, she studied her little heart out to get her license as well. But then, between us, we were able to forge ahead and build the business. Fascinating times, and I really enjoyed it.
There was a stage where there was a danger of the Tremaine name being buried by the professional name.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, it was an ongoing debate between the two of us about what the benefit from the relationships we had with the professionals, which were, there were significant benefits from the national recognition and I guess the comradeship and shared ideas that came with being with a wider group. But ultimately we found that there was more value in the Tremaine name. And I think it came to a head when actually Ian Scott and I went to Hong Kong in pursuit of the Sotheby's franchise, and we came back having secured the opportunity, but then in subsequent negotiations, in order to take up the Sotheby's brand, we were required to drop the Tremaine brand altogether. And we decided clearly that wasn't ever going to be a goer. So we actually walked away from that first opportunity to bring on the Sotheby's brand. And so I believe that then came to New Zealand through another channel. And it wasn't until that had been established in Queenstown that Simon then reinvestigated that opportunity and took it up. But by that time, we'd moved away from the professionals, and Tremaine's had been strongly established as that middle market residential brand. We'd pulled in the Colliers International before I'd gone into politics and had that bubbling away, and so it became a relatively easy tack on to bring in Sotheby's as our high-end residential brand.
Now, before we get too involved, at what stage did you meet Angie, and where did you meet her?
So I met Angela at university. So I think was it our second year, Ange?
Yes.
So I was flatting with three friends, two from Lakeview Girls High School, two Teachers College friends, Andrea Bakey and Linda Farquhar, and their friend from New Plymouth, Anna Murphy. And I think at a dinner party one night that the girls had organised at our flat. So that would have been in 1986. Yeah, so in the second year of university. So, yeah, it's a long time ago now.
But, when you look back with your children and the success of everything around you.
Oh, it's been a great, wonderful relationship. I've been very lucky, very fortunate, and very strong family values.
So it was during your move into real estate that you got married.
Yeah, so that was, so I came back, what was it, 89 was at Gosling Chapman, 90 was at Richard Cavalier, 91 was in England, came back in 92. So then it was 93, Ange, that we got married, wasn't it?
Yep.
4th of December 1993, we got married down in Fielding in the Anglican church there. And then we actually, our honeymoon was, because we hadn't had that European trip, we went back to Europe and we actually flew into Amsterdam, and because we'd shared some time in Amsterdam and loved that as a city, so we flew in there and had 3 or 4 days in Amsterdam, but then flew to Istanbul, and we backpacked from Istanbul round the coast of Turkey, so down to the Dardanelles and Izmir and Marmaris, and then across to Israel, which was quite eye-opening. And then we came back, and fortunately Dad had encouraged me to send some money back from the UK, so while we were away I purchased a house on Napier Hill, 10 Gladstone Road. And it was in a lovely old Art Deco home. It was a beautiful home. So we moved in there pretty much immediately. We came back from our honeymoon and occupied their house. And when did we move out to the Esk Valley?
November 1998.
Yes. We sold Gladstone Road and moved out to the Esk Valley. By that stage, Sam would have been 2 years old.
And Will was 3 months.
And Will was 3 months. Yeah. Right. So Ange had, well, both of us for that matter, had always wanted the kids to go to a country school, so that was part of it. So we went out there with big ideas about a vineyard, and wish we had this lovely vineyard on the place. It was a pretty special place, which we developed over a period of years, replanted the vineyard, and redeveloped the family home up there. So we loved our time in Eastdale, and the kids obviously all went through Eastdale school, and then Sam and Will through Hereworth, and Lily through Tumutia Intermediate, and then Iona and the boys through Nappy Boys.
Now, we've skipped a bit of your life, and that was your sporting times.
Yeah, so I mean, I loved sport and enjoyed my rugby. I mean, I was never an All Black contender by any stretch of the imagination, but I wasn't a bad. I played first 15 rugby for 2 years in 83 and 84. I played Ross Shield for 2 years and made the Hawke's Bay Ross Shield side, and I also played Hawke's Bay under 18s while I was at Napier Boys. So, yeah, loved my rugby, and I loved my surf lifesaving as well in the summer. Well, I wasn't a particularly good cricketer, but started with Ocean Beach Kiwi and then ended up at Pacific Surf Lifesaving Club, where I competed with Jeff Drury and his brother Rod, who went on to some fame, and also David Gray, and we competed in the surf boat, or surf canoe, I should say. And we won silver and bronze medals at the New Zealand Surf Nationals. Yes. So, yeah, we were competitive in that sport. Through university, I played rugby for the E's when I first got to university for 2 years, then the C's, and then played for the Rams in my last year at university, which was senior rugby. But I never went on from there to play provincial rugby again after high school, but played senior rugby up in Auckland and then came back here and finished playing senior twos for Old Boys Marist. But at that stage I started to get into the sort of club administration, so I think I was the chairman of the kids rugby club at Eastdale, and then I was the chairman at Old Boys Marist rugby club, and then I went on to, I think from sort of 1990 to 95, I was the chairman of Sport Hawke's Bay.
One of the dangers of being an accountant.
Yeah, I wasn't just an accountant though. I mean, that was one of the, you do get involved in these things, but obviously, you know, you step up to leadership, which is a little more than just accounting. Yeah, and that kind of started to get me involved and interested in the wider comings and goings of the community. And obviously, by that stage, I was leading the business. And, you know, Simon had come and gone, you know, on his sporting, and gone over to South Africa and then come back and then got heavily involved with the sales team, which, you know, it was great that he did that. And then he was, you know, you could see him wanting to take on bigger leadership roles. And so, you know, at some point it was important that he find that space, and he did, and it was always going to rise to those roles. So the timing for me was good in that respect, going into politics, taking a community leadership role as an MP, and Si stepping up to be, you know, essentially run the real estate business. And by that stage, it was interesting, we'd actually, because when I first got into the business, it wasn't just Terrain Real Estate. People forget that the travel business was there in some capacity. And we talked about that previously. But yeah, so my initial role covered both businesses, which was, you know, it took some time to move on from travel and to realise that wasn't going to be our future, and to, you know, eventually sell out of those businesses and move on. You know, but part of our history. So yeah, that covers the sport, I think. But yeah, the politics was, you know, incredible privilege to be able to represent Napier. It had been a Labour seat since 54, and so to win it in that first election in 95 was pretty special. And we went into opposition. Don Brash was the leader at that point in time. And so we went into opposition in 2005, 2006, 2007 opposition, election in 2008 where John Key had become the leader, and we then had two periods in government. First period as senior whip, and then in the last 3 year period through to 2014 as a minister and cabinet minister. So, yeah.
Well, looking back, that's the closest Hawke's Bay has come to being united for many, many years. A lot of the parochialism disappeared during that time.
Yeah, I think it was quite a united period. I think Craig and I did cement a strong bond between the two cities. And ultimately, there were, I had aspirations, and so did others, of trying to amalgamate the two. But, the reality was that I can understand why, but, the people of Napier always saw themselves as an individual city and didn't want to lose any chance of that changing. And, I think they had a point. In hindsight, it would have had an impact. So anyway, that was one debate we lost.
Probably for the better.
Lots of debates over that period. Some pretty fundamental debates around where the country was going and what was happening. I mean, the seabed and foreshore legislation were pivotal during that time. The debate around smacking children, whether that was the right thing or not, that was pretty culturally pivotal at the time. The debate about homosexual law reform and gay marriage all happened during my time in politics. And, and that ongoing left and right debate between, how accountable we should be for our own lives versus the state's involvement in our lives and how much the state should be accountable for everybody. Sure. And it was that kind of pivotal yin and yang between, how much... And so I was very much a part of that and proud to be part of the John Key government, who had to deal with, especially that 2008 GFC to get us through that period. We came through that period as one of the best shapes of any of the Western economies, and then going through all the issues with Christchurch earthquake and the Pike River disaster. Well, it was a tough old time, but I think we made a pretty good fist of it, and the country came out of that time in pretty good shape.
Yes, and then you decided you would retire.
Yeah, well, that was an interesting decision. I mean, we'd actually thought pretty long and hard about it after 6 years, in fact. In fact, we almost did resign after 6 years, so that would have been, again, in 2005, so in the 2011 election. But then we decided that actually 6 years wasn't long enough in terms of, some people said, you only stayed in for 9 years because it would have got you your pension. Well, the problem was that the pension had long gone, so it had nothing to do with that. I just thought my job hadn't been done. I hadn't made it into cabinet, and there was that opportunity that existed. So we decided to do 9 years, but no more. So, yeah, it was a wonderful period of my life.
At a time when you have the youth and enthusiasm to deal with it.
Yeah, I think so. We did bring a lot of enthusiasm to the role. I mean, the things that Craig and I got up to, and Ange and Crystal, for that matter, and our wives, in terms of the AMP shows and the things that we did there, and the Relays for Life, and one of the campaigns I was most proud of was the 30 Jobs in 30 Days campaign we did, where for 30 days in a row, I had a different job every morning. So I worked in the Wairoa freezing works, through to the Hawke's Bay Seafoods fish filleting room, to the timber factory at Waitani Timber Mill. So it was an incredibly humbling experience, which introduced me to so many different constituents.
I often look back to Hawke's Bay Electorate when we invited Michael Moores to come in. That was our first mistake.
Right, yeah. He's a character, that boy.
Very, very intelligent man. He always had to be outside the tent peeing and couldn't ever do work as a team. Yeah. It was sad because his parents were really gentle, lovely people. And he was a nice guy, but he just could not work as a team.
Yeah.
He was a bit like Neil Curtin, who walked in Michael's shadow.
I knew both men, but I didn't know them. I met and had various copies with both of them, but I'm just saying I knew them. I don't know.
So during this period of politics and real estate, you had some children.
Yeah. So, and a wonderful wife who worked together. I mean, Sam was our first child in 1996. July the 1st, 1996. And Will came in 1998, July the 30th. And Lily the 18th of October 2000. So yeah, three wonderful children. And throughout that period, I was pretty busy with the business. So Ange played a massive role in raising the children and schooling. She was on the PTA and the school board through that period. And also had a massive involvement in running the vineyard. So Ange did her viticultural papers at the time and was very heavily involved in negotiating the contracts and essentially running the farm and vineyard. That was her key focus there. The kids, Sammy started out playing rugby and then moved to football. He was very heavily involved with the Gifted and Talented Kids program, so he was identified early on as being a young fellow with a real intellectual talent. And then, yeah, and then he subsequently got into karate and got his black belt while he was at Napier Boys High School. So Sammy finished off as a runner-up to Ducks, so he did really well and continued to play football right through until his time at, he's now at university doing a double major in law and business. So he's in his fourth year now. Sam was also a prefect at Napier Boys High School. Will was more of an all-rounder. You know, was pretty strong in his rugby and cricket right from where he'd go, and a pretty good student as well. And he, from early ages, was in the local rep sides and then played Ross Shield for a couple of years. And obviously, first 15, he was vice captain and then captain for a number of the games. And throughout that period, he'd made Hawke's Bay sides and then the Junior Hurricanes. And then ultimately went through to play for New Zealand in the Junior All Blacks. Lily was a good all-rounder as well, both as a student and as a netballer. She flourished on the sports field, but she went a different route in terms of from Eastdale, she went to Tamatea Intermediate and then to Iona. She was also a prefect this year, which has been fantastic. She had leadership roles as a captain on the netball team for 2 years running and done really well scholastically as well. So she's off to University of Otago next year to do a business degree. Will's been down at Victoria doing law and commerce degree as well. So it should be commerce and law and the other way around, but he's also pursuing a professional rugby career. He's got a contract with the Magpies at the moment, so he's able to fit that in the second semester of each year. In the first semester he goes to Vic and does four papers and then comes back and plays rugby. It's working quite nicely for him.
As long as he doesn't break a leg.
No, he's broken a shoulder, and this year he got an incredibly random injury, which was about an 18 centimetre cut down the inside of his leg. So that put him out for a few weeks as well.
I think that's what the papers were referring
to. Yeah. They reported incorrectly in that it was assumed that he had had a compound fracture.
Yes.
In fact, he didn't. So yeah, the kids are loving life, and each of them are going their own ways now. And over the course of that period, Ange has got back into teaching. So for about 3 or 4 years, she got back and quite heavily involved with Hereworth School and moved into a senior role there. And after some time teaching, decided that she wanted to change in direction. So came back out and has now started her own business. So she has a business called Mojo Journeys, which is a startup, which is basically identified a number of walks around Hawke's Bay. Most prevalent is the 3-day trek from here across to Ocean Beach, across the private land, and then back across from Andy Lowe's place to Hamlock North and back. So she's building that business. She has a retreat this weekend down at Angaroa Station.
So after being an MP, you had some other interests for yourself.
And obviously when you make that decision, that was the big call. Do you go on and try and continue to strive to go up the ladder? But we'd made that decision to leave. But I was also qualified by the point where I was number 18 in the cabinet. And that was just, you know, not to be seized at. But reality was to continue to rise would have probably meant I needed to stay in politics until we were back in opposition. And then there was every chance that you might become one of the senior MPs, but there were so many ifs, buts and maybes. And if you did get into that position, how long would it be until you got back into government as a senior MP? So it had become a decision about the rest of our lives. We didn't want that. So we decided to get back into the commercial world. And it is, it's a bit like falling off a horse. You got to start again. So we did. I sold my shares in the real estate business, so that avenue was no longer open. And I think, you know, the business had moved on. There were new partners there. It was right and proper to continue to go in its own way. So I was fortunate to be offered a position at the Bank of China in New Zealand. Immediately I got out of politics, so that gave me a really good stepping stone back into the commercial world. I've continued to be the chairman of that bank for the last 4 years and remain in that position now. Since then, I've had a range of different roles with different companies and public entities. So I chaired the inquiry for the government into the racing industry. I chaired the Hawke's Bay Regional Investment Company for a year or so and led the capital review for the regional council into what it did with the port of Napier.
Yes.
So just going through that debate now about selling the port down. Involved with Wetherspoon Organic as an international honey importer. And I chaired the group that had to deal with the inquiry after the Havelock North water crisis.
Sure.
So yeah, had lots of different roles like that. But in the background, I set up a company called Tremaine Capital. And that business works with high net worth people to bring together capital to invest in commercial property, private equities and every business opportunities.
Sure.
So we're just quietly going about building that business.
You've had a very broad contact with the community, which probably serves you well to deal with a lot of these other things.
I think the breadth of experiences that you have and have to deal with, especially when you're an MP, it does set you up to be quite experienced in across a range of different areas.
Do you play any other sport?
No, I walk most mornings, so I keep my fitness up. The trip we've just had to Nepal was to walk to Everest Base Camp was high of the luck. Our goals recently, I do quite a bit of bike, I enjoy my biking, and I keep fit generally. But I'm not a gym junkie or play any particular. I do run an orienteering occasionally, but you don't have a particular sport
sure.
I play now.
You know, we talk about Kel with so many different things, and he was always there to put a shoulder to the wheel.
Mm.
And that's been very obvious. You boys have followed that on as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think the Tremaine Real Estate was definitely a vehicle for doing that. But I mean, in our private capacities, you know, like we've talked about the various chairmanship roles I've had with Sport Hawke's Bay
sure.
and various
sure.
clubs. I mean, one of the things I'm most proud about is leaving politics is just getting the Waipariki campground, which was looking like it had been sold privately. I campaigned to the three councils and managed to coordinate them to purchase the campground. So you know, that's a legacy that will be, well, the campground will now stay in public hands.
Now it's so easy to get to that new road. And the camping people that run the camp, very, very sociable people.
Well, it's that close that I went out this morning there with my son. We were able to pick up 12 crayfish, so that's how close it is and how good the fishing is still out.
Yeah. Now, is there anything you've forgotten to tell me?
No, I think that, that's all that needs to be.
Angie, is there anything you'd like to say?
So my family are traditionally from the Rangitiki Manawatū area, and I grew up for the majority of my life between Fielding and Palmerston, where I had a very happy and treasured childhood, with my father growing lots of organic vegetables and fruit and being artisan potter and working at the local freezing works, as well as being a minister at the local church. So quite a diverse lifestyle.
Brothers and sisters?
An older sister and a younger brother.
Your names?
Miranda Abbott is my older sister, and my brother is Lincoln Jurgens. And they went on to have families of their own. Lincoln lives now over here and loves Hawke's Bay and calls at home as well. So that's been nice for us.
Mm.
And yeah, lovely time at a wee country school where we enjoyed all of the wonders of the 60s, 70s and 80s, and then on to Palmerston North Girls High School and Massey University where I met Chris. So that is a brief history.
We love going back to Turakina Beach where Angie's mum, Jeanette, and her father Trevor have now retired.
Where's Turakina?
Turakina is about 30 kilometres south of Whanganui and just 30 kilometres north of Bulls. So you go through the Turakina township and then the beach villages on the coast.
So it's between Foxton and Whanganui?
Yeah. More between Bulls and Whanganui. So yeah, they've got a lovely place out there and we enjoy going out there as much as we
can. Well, that's lovely. All right. Well, thank you. Okay. Thanks for the contribution you've made to Hawke's Bay, you and Angie and your family.
Thank you, Frank, for doing this undertaking.